Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Again, I want to encourage you because during this next period of time, you are going to hear many, many readings from the Gospel of Mark, both during the week and for the Sundays in ordinary time in this year. You're going to hear a great deal from the Gospel of Mark. And I want to recommend a book to you called The Gospel of Mark. That's all it is. It's a Catholic commentary on sacred scripture. This volume is written by Dr. Mary Healy, H-E-A-L-Y, Dr. Mary Healy. It's entitled The Gospel of Mark. It's available through Renewal Ministries for purchase if you simply go to renewalministries.net. renewalministries.net, and then click on bookstore and you can order the book very, very easily. It is a very accessible commentary, very rich, and I think you'd find it a very, very helpful tool in growing in your own relationship with God and understanding of His Word. The first reading today is taken from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 4 to 7, and then 11 to 15. Brothers and sisters, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. You have also forgotten the exhortation addressed to you as children. My son, do not disdain the discipline of the Lord or lose heart when reproved by him. God loves you enough to discipline you. He loves you enough to correct you. Thank him. None of us is perfect. All of us make mistakes. Accept it. Accept it. I loved it when my students, when I'd have to correct them, I loved those who were mature enough to look at me and say, ha, I did that. I'm sorry. Okay, what can I do to make it better? I loved it. It wasn't, oh, I didn't do it, or he did it, or he made me do it, or this or that. We all have that tendency in us. And Scripture is telling us, my son, my daughter, do not disdain the discipline of the Lord, or lose heart when reproved by him. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, he scourges every son he acknowledges. Endure your trials as discipline. Here it is again. Endure your trials as discipline. God treats you as his sons and daughters. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? At the time, all discipline seems a cause not for joy, but for pain. Yet later, it brings the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who are trained by it. The more we admit our sin and our weakness, it's not going to make us feel terrible. It's going to set us free. But we want to hide our sin. We want to hide our mistakes. We want to put on this good front. When actually, if we can face them and admit them, we become genuinely free, not bound up in fear and suspicion of others. And what do they think of me? And why are they doing this? And what do they know that I don't know? All that kind of stuff that can work in us and work against us. So strengthen your drooping hands and your weak knees. Make straight paths for your feet, that what is lame may not be dislocated but healed. Strive for peace with everyone and for that holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one be deprived of the grace of God, that no bitter roots spring up and cause trouble, through which many may become defiled. Strengthen your drooping hands and your weak knees. Make straight paths for your feet. How do you do that? This is God's word. This is what I'm going to live by. When I fail, I will admit it. Pick myself up, receive the forgiveness of the Lord, and start again. You get into a pattern like that, brothers and sisters, you're going to be set free. I mean that. That's what God does for you when you start to follow his path, his way. He sets you free. And joy comes. Scripture says, with the night there is weeping, but with the dawn rejoicing. when the light of truth comes, when we walk in that light of truth, we rejoice. Even in the midst of our sins and our mistakes and all the difficulties that life brings, there's an inner joy that no one shall take from you. Why? Because God is walking intimately with you. Because you choose to do His will, His way. It's the path to salvation. It's the path to happiness. It's the path to peace. Choose it. Choose it. Strive for peace with everyone and for that holiness without which no one will see to the Lord. And without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one be deprived of the grace of God, that no bitter roots spring up and cause trouble, through which many may become defiled. The Lord's kindness is everlasting to those who fear Him. Fear doesn't mean trembling and quaking. Fear means reverence, obedience. You put Him first. You put His laws first before your own desires and your own will. You choose to do things His way. That's what it means in Scripture, to fear Him, to reverence Him by being obedient to Him. The kindness of the Lord is from eternity to eternity toward those who fear Him. His justice toward children's children among those who keep His covenant. Brothers and sisters, the verse just before the gospel says, "My sheep hear my voice, says the Lord. I know them and they follow me." You don't want to be anywhere else but in the company of those following the Lord. Do what Scripture tells you. You can. You can reorient your life. You can begin to read Scripture every day. You can repent of your sin when you fail. You can draw close to Him. Yes, you can. You can be obedient to the Lord. And the joy that comes will not fade. It does not depend on circumstances. It depends on your relationship. Choose it. Choose Him. Mark chapter 6, verses 1 to 6. Jesus departed from there and came to His native place, accompanied by His disciples. When the Sabbath came, He began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard Him were astonished. And they said, "Where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given Him? What mighty deeds are wrought by His hand? Isn't He the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not His sisters here with us?" In other words, what they're saying is, how is this man performing these miracles? We know Him. We know who He is. He's like one of us. We know all His relatives. We know His mother. We know all His relatives. This doesn't make sense. And are not His sisters here with us? Sisters and brothers referred to cousins, to natural relationships. And they took offense at Him. They took offense at Him. "Who do you think you are, setting yourself up? You came from the same place we did. We know you. You can't be the Messiah. That's ridiculous. You're a farce." They took offense at Him. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his native place, and among his own kin, and in his own house." So He was not able to perform any mighty deed there. Hometown. You know, we experience that humanly, don't we? You're raised in a particular town and you go away and you become extraordinarily successful and you become well known. And when you come back to your home, nobody knows how to relate to you. Who are you? Didn't you grow up here on this street? Didn't you do this? I mean, who are you? People don't know how to relate because in a certain way you broke out of the mold and you're different. Well, Jesus was different from the very beginning. Forever He was different. But He inserted Himself into our world in a particular time and place with a particular group of people. And that was just not their concept of the way the Messiah was going to come. And because it was different than what they thought, they rejected it. We tend to do that, brothers and sisters. It's our pride. If we don't understand, we reject. Rather than saying, I don't understand, but I'm going to pay more attention here. I'm going to listen a little more. I'm going to follow a little more till I see. See what people are saying. See if it's true or not. I become mature. I don't just go with the crowd. We need to be able to do that, brothers and sisters, all of us. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his native place and among his own kin and in his own house. So he was not able to perform any mighty deed there, except apart from curing a few sick people by laying his hands on them. But there were no mighty, we would think any cure would be mighty. But in the order of things, he didn't do some of the splendid miracles, you know, feeding the 5,000 or curing this whole town and all the lepers and so on. This one was more quiet. And because there was not faith there, he was not able to perform any mighty deed. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Brothers and sisters, I think God would say that in most parishes that he walks into today. He was amazed at their lack of faith. And these are the people who go to church. Very few of us have real active faith. I mean, do you live your daily life knowing that there is an eternal life awaiting you, knowing that Jesus sees every word, every thought, every action of yours? Do you live out of that reality that this God knows me through and through because he created me and because he loves me infinitely and because he has promised me eternal life? Do you live your daily life in light of eternity? That every thought and word and action counts. It means something. And we also have the incredible gift that when we make mistakes, and mistakes we will make, we receive forgiveness the moment we ask for it. Do you live a life of faith? Or are you just absorbed by this world and the things of this world, and you've taken on, so to speak, the values and the priorities of this world? In other words, this world is everything. Just do everything we can, because when you die, you never know. When we die, we're done for. That's it. How do you live your daily life? Live it in light of eternity. Live it knowing that you are a son of God, a daughter of God, that you are going to live for all eternity. You're going to live. Even if your body dies, it will be resurrected. You will live forever. The question is where. And how you live your life here on this earth today can make all the difference in the world. It can make an eternal difference. And there's no cause for depression or despair, because God will forgive every mistake we make if we come to him. My goodness, brothers and sisters, give your life to him. Be a true Christian today. The world is in desperate need of that sign. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.